So picture this. You're standing in this pristine, freshly painted electrical room. Everything is staged perfectly. Components are quiet. And then
someone fires up a hacksaw.
Right. An abrasive hacksaw to cut a mounting rail. And suddenly sparks are flying everywhere. Metal dust is coating the room. I mean, it's an absolute disaster. Welcome to your custom deep dive. Today's mission is exploring a tool designed to prevent that exact nightmare, which is the DeYoung rail cutter.
Yeah, it's a completely underappreciated piece of gear.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because usually if you need to cut a piece of metal for an electrical enclosure, you just grab a hacksaw. I mean, it's what we all have in the toolbox. So why are professionals dropping serious money on a dedicated tool just to cut these rails?
Well, to really understand why this tool exists, we first have to look at the physics of how it actually cuts metal.
Mm.
A hacksaw, it works entirely through abrasion.
Meaning it just kind of grinds away the material.
Exactly, tooth by tooth. And that action is exactly what creates the noise, the chips, and those really rough, jagged burrs at the ends of your rail.
Yeah, it's like trying to slice through a rock-hard, stale baguette with a dull bread knife. You just get crumbs absolutely everywhere, and the edge is a total mess.
That is a perfect analogy. But a DeYoung rail cutter doesn't do that at all. It uses pure shear force.
So it's not pushing down like a wedge?
No, not at all. What's fascinating here is it's much closer to like a heavy-duty guillotine paper cutter or even massive scissors.
Oh.
Right, so two offset hardened blades basically bypass each other, pressing through the rail's profile in a single stroke.
Just one clean motion.
Exactly. And because you're shearing instead of grinding, there's zero abrasion. That means no heat and zero sparks. So you can use it right next to pre-assembled wire looms completely safely.
Okay, so the safety and the cleanliness make perfect sense. But I'm having a hard time picturing this saving that much time. Like, is it really that much faster, or is it just a cleaner edge?
Well, it's definitely both.
Because if I'm just making one quick cut, grabbing the trusty hacksaw from my bag still feels way faster than walking all the way across a shop to a dedicated machine.
Right. Well, that assumes the cutter is stuck in one place.
Yeah.
You know, solving the mess is really only half the battle here.
Oh, true.
If you're climbing a ladder in the field, a 50-pound cast iron cutter isn't going to help you. Which is why these tools actually evolved into two distinct arenas, basically.
Which are?
You've got handheld cutters for that exact low-volume field work. Portable, you know, they fit right in your bag.
Yeah. Okay. So you aren't always walking across the shop. Here's where it gets really interesting, though. When you are in a panel shop doing high-volume work, that's where the big bench-mounted ones come in, right?
Immensely. Yeah. In a high-volume shop setting, you bolt a cast iron cutter directly to the workstation. And most of these actually have a built-in measurement stop.
Which means you completely eliminate the need to measure and mark and clamp every single piece.
Exactly. You just slide the rail to the stop, pull the lever, and you're done.
So you're turning minutes of tedious manual sawing into literal seconds per cut. I mean, that time savings has to compound exponentially across a massive build.
It definitely does. But only if the tool actually holds up. Choosing the right format dictates your workflow efficiency, but choosing the right structural specs determines whether the tool lasts a week or a decade.
Okay, so what specs are we looking for?
First, you have to make sure the cutter fits your specific rail profile.
Like the standard TS35 rail, the one that literally looks like a tiny metal top hat.
Yes, the classic top hat rail. But beyond the shape, you have to check material ratings. Cutting aluminum is pretty forgiving.
But stainless steel, I imagine, is a lot tougher.
Oh, absolutely. Stainless requires far more force and much higher blade hardness.
So what does this all mean for the budget options out there? I see these cheap plastic-bodied cutters online. Is there ever a real justification for cheaping out on the frame?
If we connect this to the bigger picture of panel building, honestly, no. It comes down to total cost of ownership. When you apply hundreds of pounds of shear force, a cheap plastic or thin aluminum frame will literally warp under the pressure.
Wait, so the frame actually flexes during daily use?
Yeah, and even a tiny bit of warp means the blades don't line up perfectly anymore. So instead of shearing, they start tearing the rail.
And then you get angled cuts.
Exactly. The parts don't fit, and you're forced into costly rework. And, you know, most importantly, a cutter is totally useless without a sharp blade.
Right. It's just a giant paperweight at that point.
So blade availability is the ultimate priority. You need to ensure you can actually get replacement blades when it's time to swap them out.
Right. So basically, to wrap this all up for you listening, buying the right cutter means aligning the tool's frame, the blade, and the format to your actual daily work volume.
Absolutely.
It really does leave you wondering, though. I mean, if shearing technology can take this noisy, spark-filled, totally tedious task and turn it into just a single silent lever pull, what other everyday manual tasks in our lives are just waiting for their own guillotine moment? Like, what else are we endlessly sawing away at, like, a stale baguette when we could just be making one clean cut?